Welven to the Pocket Coven podcast, where magic meets mental health. I'm Amber Lenore, a witch and licensed psychotherapist.
I'm Callie Little, a sex educator and emotional support witch. And we're
the coven in your pocket. Just two sassy witches, fresh from the forest, here to talk about duality.
Light and dark, up and down, in and out.
As above, so below, as within, as without.
I love duality. I think that, you know, the meditation of duality was something that I really focused on for the majority of my 20s. I remember being in my early 20s and saying things like, okay, I know that there's not like a right or a wrong in this particular scenario. So what is the way? Not that I know now.
I'm still figuring out all the different ways.
I'm still just a foolish mortal in a meat sack, but here I am doing a podcast about it because you know what? No one knows everything. We're all just learning together, and that's what this is. It's a good excuse to research and talk about things and hopefully get y'all talking about some good stuff too. Before we dive in too much, we want to let you know that we do have a new Facebook group. So if you'd like to go give us a like on that page, because, you know, Daddy Algorithm only responds to certain things, and that's one of them. It is facebook.com/thepocketcoven. Super easy, and we would love to see you over there.
And just going to thank our patrons. We just got done recording a segment for the Artist Way Book Club. We decided to record because neither of us are feeling particularly stoked on sitting in front of our computer typing things right now. And we had a lovely, I think about 35-minute-ish conversation. So, you know, if you're participating in that, thank you so much. Knowing that you're participating is making us more accountable and disciplined. And so your work is our work. We appreciate you very much. And all of our patrons, even if you're not part of the book club, seeing the community that's growing, seeing the support that we're getting is getting us really, really excited about how the Pocket Coven is going, and it's helping us reach goals. So just thank you so much.
It's true. And on the topic of duality, you know, you don't have to give us money for us to appreciate you. However, if you want us to appreciate you, just kidding, we do already. But we would extra super appreciate if you rated and reviewed us on Apple Podcasts. Because again, Daddy likes. I can't even like make the joke without laughing. The algorithm loves when you connect with us. So it means a ton to us. We love reading them on the air. We love reading them to each other and screenshotting them and sending them to each other and making one another's day by being like, oh my God, look, our work doesn't go into the void of the universe. We are perceived.
I just perceive a little old me. yeah, exactly. We want to be perceived by you and connected to you. I'm in fact being perceived this week. Someone tried to save us.
Oh my gosh, how did I not think to bring this up? Oh, this man. Oh, it's always a man, isn't it? This cis man. He responded to the reel that Amber beautifully edited together for our Instagram. And it's like, it's us walking on a beach, collecting rocks, crafting.
Bubbles.
Oh yeah, bubbles being blown on a beach. Us like throwing our arms in the air in the wind. And he said, please repent. The least I can do is try to save your souls.
Save my souls from walking on the beach and crafting. Oh, thank you.
She likes rocks. Get the witch. I really thought, because I was responding to him, you know, and I understand. I come from a Southern Baptist family. I understand that in his mind, he is doing the kind thing. And the reality of it is he's being a judgmental prick. So I was aware of his truth and I was aware of mine. And I was polite and I told him not to harass us again, because you know what it is when you're like, hey, abandon your religion and come to mine. No, no.
I was so grateful that you got it before me.
I almost told him that we were hexing him. I almost said it, but I was like, I don't actually believe in that. And I don't want no. him to think I believe in that. Yeah, I invoked the triple goddess of social media. Block, mute, and report.
Beautiful. Oh.
Yes.
Blessed be. I mean, also my last and final thought on this is just like, does this work? Does that work? Does anyone getting on someone else's Instagram and telling them to repent, is that effective? Really? I'm just going to put away all of my beliefs. Like, oh my God. Oh my God. I didn't notice that you're right. I have been worshiping the devil by hanging out with my cousin and best friend and relaxing. You're right. Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you for saving my soul. That's never happened. That's never fucking happened. It's never going to happen. And it doesn't make any sense.
I just know that Jesus would be so into the work that I do. I know that the Christian God would love my universal love virtue. And I know that shaming other people and telling them that the harmless good that they're doing in the world, the energy that they're putting into making more goodness, shaming that is wrong. So, boom, roasted.
Boom, roasted. If anyone knows where that's from, you get extra points. But anyway, you know, on that topic, and this relates to duality, you know, Carl Jung believed that uniting opposites, which is something we're going to get into, essentially working with dualism was a way of creating world peace. Like Carl Jung really, really believed that holding light and holding dark were vital to doing good in the world. So I maintain that we are doing good in the world.
And you know, Daddy Jung, we have a lot of daddies here on the podcast. Matthew McConaughey is one too.
I need a lot of reparenting. It's fine.
Carl Jung was not afraid of the blending of the metaphysical and the psychological. I have a quote from Jung. To quote Amber, I have a quote. And this Carl Jung quote is, "No tree, it is said, can grow to heaven unless its roots reach down to hell."
Love that one. I know. He's
speaking right to my angsty little sacred heart.
Beautiful.
I have said many times that the trauma that has happened in my life, you know, all the things that have led to me having complex PTSD, as terrible as they are also the reason that I can experience the absolute highest highs. And I genuinely don't think if I didn't feel the pits of trauma that I have, that I would be able to feel the height of my joy the same way.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And you've been doing opposites work for a long time. And I think that's evident in the way that you speak about it now. You know, it's not always that simple, for sure. I mean, not that you're trying to make it simple or any such thing like that. just, you know, really respecting that you've done a lot of work around it. So before we get more into it, do you have a concrete definition of duality or dualism?
So to begin with the definition of duality, I found this on thesoulmedic.com. The spiritual law of duality basically states that everything is on a continuum and has a complementary opposite within the whole. To use an old adage, there may be two sides of a coin, but there is only one coin. In other words, things that appear as opposites are in fact only two extremes of the same thing. For instance, heat and cold may appear to be opposites at first glance, but in truth, they are simply varying degrees of the same thing.
I like that. Nice, nice.
I feel like it encompasses it very well. And that also leads me to the, I feel like the classic representation of duality is the yin and yang symbol mm-hmm. from ancient Chinese Taoism. So yin and yang is a concept of dualism describing how seemingly opposite or contrary forces may actually be complementary, interconnected, and interdependent in the natural world. Their interaction is actually interdependent rather than codependent or counterdependent, which, P.S., is a word I learned in therapy recently. So we all know codependency means relying on another or some outside force. Counterdependence is sort of like defining ourselves by not at all being related to that thing. So you can think of like your teenage years and how you felt about your parents, or maybe how you still feel about your parents. Me. that is counterdependent. Interdependent is where you're integrated in all those things. And on the opposite end, because what is the definition of duality without the definition of non-duality? Mm-hmm. From Wikipedia, in spirituality, non-dualism, also called non-duality, means not two or one undivided without a second. Non-dualism primarily refers to a mature state of consciousness in which the dichotomy of the I-other is transcended and awareness is described as centerless and without dichotomies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amber, what does I-other mean?
The self and the other, the perception of I as other. They're speaking a lot to the unity of opposites, of what happens when you see opposites and then integrate them together, and then it creates this dissolution. This is also evident in so many spiritual practices, this focus on integrating opposites or bringing together opposites. The Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, they are very concerned. It's one of the principles of the Hermetic Order. Jungian psychology, again, is highly interested in the uniting of opposites. And I have a Jung quote in a second here. And witchcraft is also concerned with the uniting of opposites, especially Wicca, the god and the goddess having different aspects, the light and the dark. When these things are able to come together, then an other can be created. So that can be the triple goddess. It's my past, myself, and my future. So it's a lot of words to explain I other, but that's how I'm interpreting it.
I have a quote. This one comes from one of your favorites, Amber. Alan Watts.
Oh, yeah.
Every explicit duality is implicit unity.
I like that. I like that a lot.
I like it too. It kind of comes back to that concept of, you know, two sides of a coin, but just one coin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So here's my Jungian quote. I like that we both have Jung quotes, and yes, we're going to do a Jungian witchcraft episode. It's coming. Okay. There is no consciousness without discrimination of opposites. There is no form of human tragedy that does not in some measure proceed from the conflict between the ego and the unconscious. The repressed content must be made conscious so as to produce a tension of opposites, without which no forward movement is possible. The conscious mind is on top, the shadow underneath, and just as high always longs for low and hot for cold, all consciousness, perhaps without being aware of it, seeks its unconscious opposite.
Yes. I feel so silly when you like finish a beautiful long quote and I say, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, deep downloads of wisdom don't always lead to profound quotes after them. There are so many amazing quotes about duality, even in, you know, this week, the chapter that we're doing in The Artist's Way for the book Coven, which is on Patreon, P.S. There's a quote on the task list by Paul Gauguin. I don't know how to say his last name. It's G-A-U-G-U-I-N. So Paul G, he says, "I shut my eyes in order to see." And I feel like that's a really good example of the kind of abstract concept of duality.
Yeah, that's the thing. Duality is a really abstract concept. I mean, everything we're talking about is either academic or psychological or esoteric because, yeah, that's kind of the realm of dualism is that, yeah, there's a lot behind it. And so many spiritual traditions are so extremely concerned with it. And so many academic traditions are concerned with it. One of my favorite examples is dialectical behavioral therapy. Dialectic is two. That's what we're talking about is the uniting of opposites. DBT is incredibly effective for people that are struggling with suicidality and self-harm, eating disorders and borderline personality disorder and CPTSD. And a lot of the core concepts are related to uniting opposites. One of them that's lovely is opposite action. And that I have made great use of, which is what's the opposite of what I want to do right now? I want to tear this person's head off. What if I did the opposite of that? What if I did nothing? What if I smiled at them? What if I thanked them? What would that be like? And this is not about ignoring how you really feel and shoving down your true and authentic self. You got to remember, this is a really nuanced practice. This is about reducing emotional reactivity for people, honestly, like me, who are very, very emotionally reactive, that have a hair trigger.
First of all, had no idea that dialectical meant like two. Mm-hmm. My brain thought dialect, it has to do with speaking. Mm-hmm. You, the more you know. Secondly, yeah, I mean, I've said it in the podcast before. Like, I've seen so much evolution in the way that you process your emotions over the years, the 10 years we've known each other. And we were just this weekend talking about, you know, a lot of stories that we're not going to go into on the podcast, but things that we didn't know about one another when we first started talking, when we first became friends. There are so many things that it just takes a decade to get around to talking about, but you are a different person than the friend that I made 10 years ago. I mean, now we know you're my cousin also. And it still blows my mind. We got mistaken for sisters on our little retreat, and that was very cute.
It was.
When we integrate both sides of ourselves, you know, our higher knowing, our wisest self, and how we feel, like the really human part of us, I think that that's where, I mean, reparenting happens. It's where our adult selves actually flourish because we are always our child selves in every age. You know, I, for the longest time, considered my child self being this like static, I don't know, like 7-year-old. When in reality, my child self is a 3-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 17-year-old. There are so many versions of my child self. And they are all always me. And also, I'm only the me that exists right now. And that is also a good example of duality.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I just find so much dualism, and learning about it has helped sharpen my focus for seeing it. Some places I've seen it in my life that have been really impactful are around strength training, for one thing. So when you're strength training, you feel weak. There's some dualism there. In order to get strong, you have to feel weak all the time. And that was not what I was expecting back when I was still circus training 20 hours a week, which is at one point what I did with my life and loved it. And it took me several years to just actually feel good while I was doing it. And even then, it was that I had created enough distress tolerance to be with the pain of it. Distress tolerance being another concept from dialectical behavioral therapy that I absolutely love. We need a certain amount of distress tolerance to be with that shadow part or that painful part or whatever is an opposite. And I love dualism, and I also love the idea of multiplicity, So, I mean, there's so many concepts that I make use of. This is just the one we're talking about today. You know, like, I think it was on our shadow. Oh gosh, which one was it? It was definitely a shadow episode. Oh, Bad Witch. It was like, oh yeah, there's like lots of people in the shadow. And Kathy was like, oh yeah, there's lots of people in the shadow. So, you know, so I don't want to give listeners the impression that binary thinking is like the only way. There's plenty of binaries, like the gender binary, for instance, that are not so helpful. And also, dualism, I think, is an important topic. I mean, that's why we're talking about it.
Well, I think non-binary identities, which I'm not trying to speak on behalf of everybody, but I definitely identify as a non-binary woman, which, if that doesn't make sense to you, it's fine. It doesn't need to. It's my gender, thanks. I feel like non-binarism, which is technically a word, I think, is a good example of dualism. You know, it's not about a rejection of two things. It's about an incorporation of all things and not dividing them into two, mm-hmm. in my opinion. If you want to say I'm wrong, it's fine. It's fine. This all reminds me of, I had a client this week in, you know, we were talking about a relationship and they asked me, how do I enter my next relationship without a fear of losing that person? And I was like, well,
you don't.
I said, that is kind of one of the biggest existentialist questions in the universe. You practice non-attachment and also acknowledge that the great love story that we're all taught to believe in, even then, someone dies first.
Yeah.
So to have the great love story, you also have to have the great heartbreak story.
Yeah.
That is one of the greatest dualisms that so many of us, probably most of us, live with, is the search for happiness. You know, happiness does come with the price of the pain when that moment is over, because everything is in transition all the time. There is no constant. So to enjoy something in the moment is to acknowledge that it's not forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. There's dualism. And I mean, dualism is all over the world. I mean, we have night and we have day. We have up and we have down. You know, we have warm and we have cold. We have so many opposites in nature. And nature is made better by having lots of diversity and lots of opposites. And my interest in dualism has only been strengthened through spiritual practice, so much so that I have a huge tattoo devoted to dualism, which, Kylie, I don't know if you know that's what my chest is about, but I have the Baphomet, which is usually misunderstood to be Satan, on my titties, and Satan titties, and it's not Satan. The Baphomet is a symbol of opposites being integrated. It's hermaphroditic, so it's trans. It has all genders within it. It is a horned, many-breasted, dicked, she-he goat symbol, which represents the uniting of opposites. And so, yeah, I am forever marked with the Baphomet on my chest. If anyone ever wondered what all that mess was on my breasts, that's what it is. And I also love the story of the Baphomet, which is that, like, that the classic black and white picture, like, drawing of the Baphomet that you'll see if you ever just look at Baphomet, is not actually it was rendered by an artist based on a trial of, I believe it was the Knights Templar. They were saying that they were practicing witchcraft and Satanism, and they're like, no, we're not. And they, the people who were persecuting them came up with this really, like, grandiose, like, being that they were worshiping that they actually weren't. That they weren't worshiping at all. They were being horribly misunderstood. And then an artist rendered that, and that's the Baphomet. So I really love the Baphomet because of that.
So the Baphomet is a folkloric cryptid.
Yeah.
And yet again, the Christian church has helped define witchcraft even further, and Satanism, like the And I'm just being reminded of when we were talking about the Hammer of Witches and how, you know, the writer of that was like, oh, these women, they make out with Satan's butthole, and that's how they get into their trainings for being witches. Like, the amount of fantasy involved in the Christian gaze of witchcraft slash any occultism is astounding, and it's such a fetishization.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we could all rant about that, really, but that's not... As within, so without.
Yeah.
Whatever.
This episode is us ranting about being misunderstood. But I mean, but you're right. And dualism is another way in which I feel that we can combat that idea that we're either all good or all bad. That's to me a very puritanical, very moralistic, very political, God-fearing sort of position. And, you know, I don't want to shit on God at all. Like, God's lovely, and I have my own concept of God, as do you. And my concept of God makes sense and makes use of all the ways that we are. And that just feels better to me, and it helps me feel more connected to my spiritual practice. My spiritual practice is mostly where I manage my duality and my dualism. It's really satisfying to me when a client brings their duality to me as if they're the only person who's ever felt duality. Like, I know this is weird, but I feel this way and I feel this way. Like, yes, yes, you do. You can feel many ways at the same time. Did you know that? No. Wow. Right. It relieves symptoms. Just knowing that that's normal and that everybody is having this dualistic experience of life all the time.
I'm pretty sure every single person on this planet knows what it is like to really love and fucking hate their parents. So, you know, that's just a really built-in dualistic experience for most teens at the very least, if not adults. And, like, it doesn't take away from whatever you're viewing as the light version. You know, if we're thinking of love as light and hatred as dark, which, sidebar, there's a lot of discussion about how that particular dichotomy is based in racism. That's a topic for a different episode, but just wanted to acknowledge it. When we are looking at it that way, you know, acknowledging whatever we believe is the shadow, it doesn't take away from the light. Like, nothing about having a campfire in a dark forest is ruined by the forest being dark. It is, in fact, enhanced. You can't see the beautiful bonfire without all of that darkness around you, or you at least can't see every little flame, you know? So don't feel like you have to ignore the shadows of life in order to have the light. Because in fact, in my opinion, those two things, they're not two halves of one whole. If you eliminate one, you are eliminating both of them.
You cannot carve out parts of yourself you do not like and throw them away.
Yes.
I mean, yes, and. When we talk about uniting opposites, or the marriage of opposites, as Jung said, what we're talking about is that, is not carving out a piece and throwing it away because you don't like it. Because one, it doesn't work. It's not even possible. And two, it creates trauma-related disorders. So PTSD and CPTSD is preserved like a fossil, like it just stays very active and stagnant when there are pieces of ourselves that are not integrated. In other words, pieces that we're shutting down and keeping far away from us. And this happens through different processes. Avoidance is one of the big ones. And I always tread lightly on avoidance, because avoidance is a coping mechanism that's really important. And people can't just face horrible things that happen to them in an unregulated and unsupportive way. Like, that's re-traumatizing. So that's not the message I'm giving. The message I'm giving is, if you want to move forward, if you want to change and transform, the pieces of yourself that you don't like, do need to come forward and you do need to sit down and have tea with them. And you do need to figure out in a supported and regulated context how they can be cared for. Their presentation might look really awful. They might look greedy or angry or jealous or rageful. And when you spend time with them, you find that they're scared or wounded or they don't feel confident. They're wearing some sort of armor that makes them look big and bad, but really they're quite tender and soft. That's why they look so big and bad. And when we can bring them together, I think we have a more full life, and that's what it means to live more fully. That's just my definition, and that's part of why we're focusing on duality.
Yes. And that leads perfectly into, you know, the action portion of the episode, because typically we talk about a concept and then we move into how to work with it. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, a retreat where you're focused on something, like for us, it was an Ostara retreat. You and I hadn't had a one-on-one retreat ever. Like, we have stayed with other people. We've had one with, you know, your daughter and her bestie, which I love because I love facilitating. I love being a camp counselor. I love bringing crafts. And we've had artistic retreats with other collaborators, but this was our first time being one-on-one. And I know that for me, some of the duality was like, okay, I love this person and I am always afraid of losing the people close to me. So, you know, are we going to have like a big fight or something? Because this is our first going away together on our own. No, we didn't. Spoiler alert. we're really good at communicating our own needs and assuming the best in each other, which leads to a pretty easy time together. But we were focused on observing Ostara, which, you know, we had grand ideas about it and we were wrong, but that was part of it. That was part of observing it. And in today's bonus content on our Patreon for the witch tier and above, we will be going into how to plan your own retreat on a budget like we do pretty regularly. So if you want to learn about how to do that, that is one way that you can focus on dualism. You can plan a whole retreat around it. But I also have some fun sort of drama therapeutic activities. It's like multiple activities in one that I'm going to bring to the table. Amber, would you like to go first or would you like me to go in?
Yeah, I can definitely start. I also have a little closing quote about the two wolves, the parable of the two wolves, which I think speaks to the integration of opposites. My go-to for this sort of dualism work is self-reflective practice and creative practice. I think that those tools are invaluable. Right now we're doing morning pages, which we've mentioned. That is self-reflective practice. And do I ever see my dualities come out through that? Anything that is expressive, that is helping you take what is within and bring it to the outside, that is going to help you have a greater capacity to notice your opposites and to see them. Most of my experience personally and guiding other people is that we're surprised by our opposites. Wow, I didn't know I felt that way. And I think that can be kind of a scary undertaking to find parts of yourself that you didn't know existed. I find it kind of delightful as time goes on because it just keeps unfolding. All these different dualities I didn't even know I had. And the better acquainted with them I am, the more well I feel overall.
And to bring a quote from Abhijit Naskar, either integration or degradation.
I like that.
I love a sassy quote. Mm-hmm. So I have a witchy practice for this that I've come up with for this episode in particular. And it's using one of my favorite things, which is a diagram because I'm a Virgo, and tarot, which I love because duh. So the practice that I've come up with for integrating duality, both on an intellectual and esoteric level, is to create a Venn diagram. And on your two halves, list out every opposite you can think of, like light and dark, cold and hot, all the things we've talked about, and, you know, push yourself to list them out, just the opposites first. And then once you've filled your circles, or you've filled them as much as you feel you can, go into the center and find the middle ground of each of those things. And the point isn't that there is a solid middle ground, but these are the examples that we're working with, because what we're doing with this particular Venn diagram is we're calling in an awareness of the overlap of extremes. So once you fill out that center, I want you to get your tarot deck out and do whatever it is you do with your tarot deck. If you like to light a candle first, great, incense, say a prayer, do your tarot thing, and go through your deck to find the sun and the moon, which I've chosen as the archetypal opposites for this particular exercise. If you feel drawn to working with a different set of opposites from the deck, for sure, go for it. Follow your gut. As always, take what works for you and leave the rest. And I want you to put your opposite cards on their respective circles. So if you have the sun and the moon, you know, the sun would go on the side where you have light. The moon would go on the side where you have dark, even though the moon is a very liminal thing and it shines. We're working with archetypes here. And then as you're doing your tarot practice, shuffling your cards however is right for you, meditate on the concept of a guide for your middle ground. And you could do this also with an oracle deck. You can do it with whatever decks you work with in general. Ask the cards for a guide in finding duality. You know, for us, so often on this podcast, you know, we talk about Hecate. She is a goddess of liminal spaces. She's a really great guide for duality, especially considering her folklore, you know, walking Persephone from the earth into the underworld and holding a torch for her. And if you feel like, oh, I already know exactly who that guide is, great. This is a practice for just instilling that inner wisdom, because so much of integration is a process of allowing, and things like tarot really help to bubble it up to the surface.
That's a lovely exercise. I think that'd be really satisfying to do and accessible. And as you were talking about that, that reminded me of using tarot for duality training. A lot of folks I've heard say they don't read reversals, and I respect any way that people are working with tarot. I just want people working with tarot, however you do it. And also, if you are working on your duality, if you're trying to understand your duality, work with reversals. And also, if you feel really resistant, be curious. Why is it that you don't want to see reversals? What are you rejecting in yourself that you don't want to see come up? Because honestly, like, that's my bias when I hear people go like, I don't like it, it's too negative. And I'm like, ooh, you know, because I want to be doing that work in my life where I, yeah, have a really, and I do, I have a hard time like seeing that reversal and not just wanting to switch it. Sometimes I do, if I don't have it in me to really look at an archetype within myself that might be reversed, then I often do switch it. And by the end of the day, I find that I shouldn't have, because yeah, no, I was the Empress reversed. You're right. Fuck. You know, so like, so yeah, your tarot can be a guide. They work with duality also. So it's, the structure is there for you to use.
It's true. Oh, we could do a whole episode about reversals.
We probably will.
We probably will. There are so many to make.
All right, so to close us out, I'm going to read a revisioning of the parable of the two wolves, which you may have heard. It's a Cherokee story. So I'm going to read you the first part, which you know, and the ending that you have probably heard, and then I have a different ending. So it goes, an elder speaks to his grandson about life. A battle rages inside me, he says. It is dangerous, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, lies, superiority, and ego. He continued, the other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, and faith. The same fight goes on inside of you and inside of everyone as well. The grandson pondered his words and said, "Which one will win?" And in the version that you've probably heard, the elder says, "The one you feed," which is a mic drop moment, really. And I like the quote as it is. And I found a blogger who insists that that's not how it actually ends and provides us with a different ending to "The one you feed" that speaks to the integration of opposites.
Oh, I'm excited.
So after grandson asked him this question, "Who will win?" the elder smiled and replied, "If you feed them right, they both win. You see, if I only feed the white wolf, the black wolf will hide in the dark, waiting for me to falter so that it can pounce and get the attention it craves. He will always be angry and will always be fighting the white wolf. But if I acknowledge him, both he and the white wolf can be satisfied and we all win."
That's so compassionate. And we talk all the time about how, you know, acknowledging the parts of ourselves that we think are so monstrous is actually a really kind thing to do. And I have one last quote on that note that is so perfect. I was going to leave it out, but now I know I have to say it. This is another quote from Abhijit Naskar, and it is, "Integration is an act of love, not intellect."
I love that. Well, shit, that reminds me of another quote. I'm just kidding.
This is the Pocket Quotin podcast.
www.dualityquotes.org.
I do love me a quote, but you know what I also love is my Rosy Cheeks Etc. Pocket Coven perfect masks.
I love my masks. No, seriously, they're cute. And when we were away this weekend, I was coughing so much from the cold air that even when I didn't need to be wearing it for COVID protection, I still wore it so that I wouldn't cough. And it was really, really helpful in the cold wind, like on the sea.
And like the cotton is so nice. I think it's like organic cotton on the inside. And again, yeah, they're really cute. They're very witchy. We both only wore the Pocket Coven masks. They're all I wear now. And I have masks that I've liked, but the perfect mask actually, this sounds like an ad, and I know that it's a product that we do make a little bit of money on, but like the nose wire actually keeps my glasses from fogging too much, and the adjustable ear loops actually keep my ears from being in pain like they are in every mask I wear. And it's cute.
Exactly. It's functional and cute.
So we just released the second installment of the collaboration, and other than the number one bestseller, which sold out in like 4 hours the first time, Serpents and Roses, it's all new fabrics. So Serpents and Roses is back, as well as in a beautiful like midnight blue teal color, which I know Amber is just, I know she's going to buy it. It's so pretty, and that one has like a rose gold lining on it. It's so nice. And then we have, I think, 8 other designs as well that are brand new. They're all $15, which is already a great price, especially considering shipping is included in that. But then if you use code PocketCoven, you get $3 off, and you can match us and look really cute and support small businesses of artists who make things that you love, like this podcast.
Yes, and if you're not already following us on Instagram, please find us on Instagram at The Pocket Coven.
At Pocket Coven Podcast.
There you go. There you go. That's what it is.
You know, everything is different. And if I didn't mention it already, we do now have a Facebook page, so you can like us, help us on that old algo, facebook.com/The Pocket Coven.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A different URL for every website. All right. We'll see you on Patreon if you are one of our subscribers. And if not, feel free to join so you can get a guide on how to create your own retreat. Until then.
Brooms up, dualistic witches.
is really excited. This was actually the very first sponsor that you and I reached out to because we really wanted to build relationships with actual therapeutic tools into the podcast.
One of the biggest struggles I have as a therapist is just wrestling with the inaccessibility of mental health treatment. So because BetterHelp can do therapy from their home and do it remotely, that means that people, you know, they don't have to go anywhere, which can actually be a thing. Like if you don't have a car or access, getting to a clinic can actually be difficult. So just the convenience of being able to be at home, I think, is really important. And then that increases the possibility that people will actually utilize therapy.
Yeah, I know that it has felt like a significantly lessened burden for me to be able to do therapy from home just on my phone. And I really hope that the world just gets more comfortable with virtual therapy in general because of where we're at in the world.
I agree. And I think it's important that mental health consumers have the ability to have a say in who their provider is. As a therapist, I definitely, you know, I meet a new client and I'm like, well, you know, I don't think we're a good fit. So can I help you find someone who is? Or they tell me I'm not a good fit and that's fine. I think we really need to normalize that. And with BetterHelp, you can change anytime and choose a different provider if they're not a good fit for you. Because likely, you know, you might need to try on, you know, a few different kinds of providers before you find the one that's right for you.
Having therapists who are capable of helping me with my specific needs and to say that they offer that worldwide is really cool to me. Really like that BetterHelp has financial aid available for people.
This is a long-term therapeutic process, so this isn't a crisis line. It's different than that. It is not a self-help line. It's different than that. So it's a therapeutic relationship that needs to build consistently. So that's what you can get.
And because BetterHelp is partnering with us, you can go to betterhelp.com/pocketcoven and you can actually get 10% off of your first month. If within that time you decide you don't like your therapist, you can, as Amber said, just easily switch to a different one. It's super accessible and it's betterhelp.com/pocketcoven. That will get you 10% off. It'll get us just a little bit of a kickback. So it's a great way to support the podcast and your well-being at the same time.